You've seen our research on social media. Now, join us as we dive deeper into the public health topics of our time, featuring new studies and findings generated by our faculty and researchers committed to advancing health equity. From the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC, this is Preventive Pros, the podcast.
I'm Lida Chatzi. I'm a physician environmental epidemiologist and professor with tenure at the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. I have more than 25 years experience in environmental health research. I'm the director for the USC Center for Translational Research on Environmental Health and the deputy director for the NIHS Southern California Environmental Health Science Center. And these centers features novel bench to population team science and community engaged solution-based research, as well as training and career development at all stages. I'm a physician environmental epidemiologist and an MD PhD. So when I was back in Europe, I was the director of the childhood obesity clinic at the university hospital where I was working. And I was seeing a lot of obese cases that had an impact on the child's life than on the family life. And it definitely, the answer was not only the imbalance between, physical activity and diet. So that triggered my research interest into environmental pollution and how environmental chemicals can affect the development of metabolic diseases such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Nowadays, I lead an interdisciplinary program of research focused on advancing our understanding of how exposure to endocrine disrupting chemicals, chemicals that mimic or disrupt the hormones in our body, affect metabolic disease. So in terms of diseases, we focus on obesity, on type 2 diabetes, on fatty liver disease, and recently on cancer. So I was the principal investigator of a birth cohort study in Europe that it's called the RIA study, and focused on how in utero environmental and diet exposures affect child health. So that was my past, let's say. Nowadays, I go from what we call developmental origins of health and disease into more life course approach. So we are not focusing only on in utero exposures or early life exposures, but we try to see how environmental exposures, like environmental chemical exposures like PFAS or heavy metals or other endocrine disrupting chemicals, affect human health. And we try to do this in the life course. That means that we try to integrate different life stages like early childhood, adolescence, or even menopause as critical time windows that can actually trigger the onset of diseases based on this environmental exposure. PFAS contamination, it's a real life public health crisis because an estimated, I would say, 200 million people in the US receive nowadays PFAS contaminated drinking water. And we have more than 4,000 sites across the country that are estimated to be contaminated by PFAS. And this is probably an underestimation, as we have some recent studies showing like more than 60,000 sites in the US are contaminated by PFAS. And PFAS stands for peri- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. They are extremely persistent, ubiquitous chemicals with ubiquitous exposure that can be released into water through waste disposal and also atmospheric release from industrial sites, manufacturing sites of PFAS contaminated products, and then they can even lead from landfills and waste sites, and they can contaminate the water. And after exposure, because nowadays the problem is that all of us, we have PFAS in our blood. After exposure, PFAS can accumulate and persist in the human body for years. And there has been studies showing that nowadays we can detect them in blood of more than 99% people in the US. And somebody will say, okay, we are all exposed to PFAS. What is the problem with PFAS exposure? The problem is that PFAS affect almost every organ in the human body. They can impair immune function. They can disrupt the endocrine system. They can increase the risk of diabetes, of obesity, of liver disease. They can decrease fetal growth. They can impact reproductive health. And they can also increase the risk of cancer. Our group works a lot on how to try to understand how PFAS affect human health through different study designs. One critical public health and clinical issue and an emerging concern, you know, is the escalating prevalence of fatty liver disease and its relationship with PFAS exposure. So our group studies very focused the impact of PFAS on liver disease, PFAS partition preferably to the liver, and we have robust evidence from animal and toxicological studies showing that PFAS are hepatotoxic even at very low levels of exposure. We had this knowledge 20 years ago, but human evidence is sparse. I mean, we don't have so many studies, but we have studies showing that high PFAS levels in human serum are associated with some markers of liver injury. So our group focuses all our work now on trying to understand how PFAS can affect liver health, not only steatosis, the accumulation of fat in the liver, but also we are working with cancer epidemiologists to understand the impact of PFAS on hepatocellular carcinoma. We have a very close multidisciplinary collaboration with basic scientists. We work with scientists from the Department of Medicine at USC, and they have liver organoids that they are exposed to PFAS. And then we try to see, using advanced omics technologies like single cell RNA-seq, metabolomics, proteomics, what are the effects of PFAS on liver metabolism. And then we take these results and we try to extrapolate this in humans, because we have access to large-scale human databases, and we try to understand what is the impact of PFAS on liver disease in humans. And into this area, we try also to integrate environmental health disparities, because, you know, it looks like communities of color, but also underrepresented communities, have high exposure to PFAS because they live close to sites that are associated with PFAS contamination, but also these communities have a high burden of liver disease. We work very closely through community outreach and, you know, citizen science approaches to draw more community knowledge into PFAS research and PFAS public health actions. We focus on communities in East and Southeast LA that are predominantly Latinx population. We engage with community organizations in these areas and environmental justice organizations because these communities are burdened by a co-influence of adverse social factors, but also environmental pollution. And we analyzed, for example, recent data that saw from geospatial data that saw that these communities have not only high exposure to PFAS through the drinking water, but also they are in close proximity to point sources of PFAS contamination. And this is something that, you know, typically it's not, it's these communities are not always highly represented in PFAS research. So this is an area that we try to move forward. And when we started, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know whether these communities were concerned about PFAS. But at the first meeting that we had with them, we saw so many interest and concern because, you know, this is their drinking water and they want to know if their water is clean, if they can do something about the water, and they also need to understand how the water can impact their liver health. As part of the President's Sustainability Award that we have, we started, you know, this multidisciplinary collaboration. This is a very complex project where we try to go from bench science to solutions. So as I said before, the immunologists at the Department of Medicine, Lucy Golden and Anna Maretti, are working with the liver organoids. We as epidemiologists, myself, Max Ang, Jesse Goodrich, where I work more with human epidemiological data and with also the community outreach. And something that the communities asked, and they said, well, if you we go to the communities, we test the water, we test the water for PFAS and heavy metals. We collect also dust samples and we measure PFAS in dust samples because they can also inhale PFAS. And then we invite the participants to come at USC and for a blood draw so that we can measure also the PFAS concentrations in their blood. And all the environmental measurements are in collaboration with Viterbi School of Environmental Engineering, and more precisely Adam Smith and Dan McCary, and they are involved both in this project. So they are going to provide the measurements of PFAS in the tap water and in the dust samples. And what we promise to all our community participants is that we're going to report back the results to this community. And as a first step, we provide also filters to all the community members who participate in our research as immediate, as a short-term measure to mitigate PFAS exposure. It's water, it's dust, and then it's diet. So, and for diet, we have like a questionnaire and we ask participants about their food habits. We want to continue working on solution-oriented research. That means that we already know that PFAS are harmful for human health. We want to go deeper into understanding the mechanisms of PFAS action. That's why we have this collaboration with the Bain scientists. But at the same time, we work also closely with engineers to identify new sustainable methods for PFAS mitigation, especially now that, you know, 10 days ago, EPA announced that PFAS are harmful for human health, and we have the new thresholds for the new thresholds for PFAS concentrations in drinking water. So we want to make sure that, you know, we go towards what we call solution-oriented research, not only showing what is the impact of an environmental pollutant like PFAS on human health, but also how we can solve this problem. And another area of research that we are currently focusing is on PFAS and climate change, because you know, the production and disposal of PFAS often involved energy-intensive processes, definitely leading to increased carbon emission. But also, as global temperatures rise, the potential for PFAS contamination to exacerbate climate change impacts, such as sea level rise and extreme weather events, underscore the urgent need of regulations and sustainable alternatives to mitigate these environmental pollutants.
Preventive Pros, the podcast, is produced by the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC. To learn more about any of our episodes, or to subscribe to our monthly Preventive Dose newsletter featuring the latest in public health research and news, visit pphs.usc.edu/podcast. Thank you for listening.